it's a big mistake. It looked terrible. There's got to be a good wife and there's got to be a good mother that you don't have a cook and have a diaper baby. Sometimes the girls have been in the dormitory for so long, they really don't know what it means to lead a normal life. You need a girl who's a balabaster. You need a girl who's intelligent also. The boys are pentera. Once they have certain big dukim, everybody has certain kumis, certain big dukim. You need a bright, intelligent girl. You need a girl with Yerush HaMayim. We say in Eish Yisrael, Shekhar Chaim V'Hevel HaYoyfi, Yisha Yerush HaShem Hi Tisalo V'Chein HaYoyfi. That's what it means. If a girl has Yerush HaMayim, then the Chein HaYoyfi is wonderful. Then when I was dating, I never used to discuss my dates with the other boys in the dormitory when I was in yeshiva, but they would find out already who I was going out with. So they would give me their comments. This girl is very good looking, this girl is not good looking. I didn't always agree with them. I always felt that the girl who had more Yerush HaMayim was more good looking, and the girl who had less Yerush HaMayim was less good looking. You should look for movies though. The mother says that the girls are always looking for a masculine guy, and the more guy that they have, so the more the girl falls for it, and then after she marries him, then she has harata. You shouldn't look for a... You have to look for a Yerush HaMayim. You have to look for a Yerush HaMayim. You have to look for a Baal Chesed. Each one has to look. And Eliezer, Eved Avram, is looking for a Shidda for Yitzchak. So he tested the girl out to see if she was a Balas Chesed. If a person is so rigid in his positions, you're not going to make a good spouse. All of happy marriages are based on a compromise. Not a compromise in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. You shouldn't compromise in Shmiras HaMitzvahs. Compromising in style of living. The husband always has fleshits for supper. The wife always wants to have fleshits for lunch. He's from Europe. So you make some kind of a compromise. That's what the belt says when you get married and you move into a new apartment, you go up the mezuzah, so we put the mezuzah diagonally. Why diagonally? Because Rashi's opinion is the mezuzah should be vertical, straight. Tosfos' opinion it should be horizontal. So either you do one or the other, so the Gemara says, but if it's diagonal, then for sure it's good. So we do the compromise to satisfy both opinions and halacha. That's where we do a compromise. The Gemara says that compromise is good if it's diagonal. All of married life, if you want to have shalom bayis. Shalom bayis doesn't come naturally. The Mishnah says, Mikros, Basam, Hamars, Nibraha, Elam. So the Mishnah list of which are the ten. So we say, Briya Sa'odam, creation of mankind was one. Nasa'odam is something. And shalom bayis is a separate breed. It doesn't happen naturally. That many people are not happily married. Many people who get along together, but they're not really happily married. To be happily married, you have to be a Baal Chesed to be able to give in a little bit for the other one's style of living. Like, the boy's been living 20 years by his parents, the girl's been living 20 years by her parents. It's a different style of living. So you have to be prepared to make a compromise on that. I remember I was dating a girl, the same girl whose father didn't pick up Rebecca. So the girl gave me the hardest time. Yes. So that girl gave me the hardest time. I didn't understand why. So they told me why, because her parents, her father was a very big Talmud. Her parents apparently didn't have such gevaldig as shalom bayis. So she thought that because I hit it off so well with her father, she'll marry me, there won't be any shalom bayis. So I remember at one point that I was there, I was out of town. I was in Europe. I went to Europe to meet this girl. So I was there for a long time, a couple of weeks. So every time I took the girl out, the girl just popped me over the head. She wasn't interested in marrying me. And the father wanted very much. So the father said, try to warm my daughter up. Try to get her interested. Ask her, what are you looking for in a boy? What are you looking for in a marriage? So I listened to him. So the next date, I took the daughter out. Yes, what are you looking for? She said, anybody but you. Daddy has never been so cool before. Okay. I remember when I dated my wife on the first date, so I asked her, what are you looking for in a boy? So she gave me a whole description. That was the first question I asked on the first date. Then she asked me, after she gave her description, yes, what are you looking for in a girl? So I gave her my description of the girl that I was interested in. Then at the end of the day, we went for a walk. At the end of the day, so yesterday, you likely were both on vacation. I noticed the girl. I saw she was sitting with her parents, and I saw the parents were religious people. So then I was interested in dating the girl. So I asked the father, and your daughter looks very young. Did she start to date? He said, she just started to date. I said, I'd be interested in taking her out. He said, I'll speak to her. He said, she's interested. Then he got back to me later the day. He says, I should take her for a walk at the Maariv. And the mountains, we're in the mountains on vacation. So that's what the first question he asked her, what are you looking for? Then she asked me, what are you looking for? So at the end of the day, I said, would you like to go for a walk tomorrow morning after breakfast? And she said, breakfast, lunch, and supper. We got engaged on the first day. We got engaged on the first day. She had, my wife has zero shemayim.
Haven't heard it.
Yes. Yes. I was looking for a girl with zero shemayim. And then the chen and the yoifi. If you have zero shemayim, the chen and the yoifi adds. The girls have to make sure you dress nicely. When you go out on a date and you have to dress nicely, my wife and I are married over 50 years. My wife knows she has to dress up for me now also. There's so many women in the street that you want your husband to remember you, you have to dress up nicely for your husband. Some of the girls have this attitude. They go on a date, they dress up very plain. He should take me as I am. Yeah, the boy's going to take you as you are, but you have to show him who you are. You have to catch his interest. You have to dress up nicely, like Shabbos day. You're going on a date, and the boy should come dressed up nicely also. You don't come, the girl should take me as I am. You have to dress up nicely when you go on a date. Main thing, you have to look for Yerush Shemayim, and Midas HaChesed, and an intelligent girl. The Chafetz Chaim, in the biography of the Chafetz Chaim, written by one of his sons, he writes, when his father got married the first time, so he's just looking for a girl and knows how to cook potatoes. Apparently his wife was a plain Jane. But today, I don't think just cooking potatoes that alone is not going to work. So you have to look for an intelligent enough girl that she should know how to take care of your Midas Chasidus, your Chumers, your Grishas.
Sure.
Where did you say some red flags that we should be
The boy has to be a medaktik in mitzvahs. If the boy's not going to be a medaktik in mitzvahs on the date, then he's not going to be a medaktik in mitzvahs in the marriage. And you have to try to get to meet the parents also. If the parents, and then one of the boys got engaged to the girls got engaged to a boy, a Sfari boy, and then she ate at the home on Shabbos. So she saw the way the father mistreated his wife. Maybe the Sfari community he came from. That was, and the son didn't even think there was anything strange about it. So the girl broke off the ship because of that. She was afraid that he saw the way his father mistreated his mother. He's going to treat his wife like that. You have to make sure that the parents of the boy. People say you don't marry the parents, you only marry the boy. It's not true. You do marry the parents. You're young girls. Why should you settle? I married a nice girl. I married a girl. My parents are kosher. My father was a rebbe, probably dance. The parents are kosher, learned, so whenever I visit on Shabbos Yantar, I can talk and learn. He appreciated it, so we can talk and learn. My wife had three sisters and a brother, all B'nai Torah, all kosher, all religious, all learned. So every other month, there was either a bris, or a pidyon haben, or a bar mitzvah, or a shevet brachas. They were like mishpat tamid, they were always partying. Yes, life is, there are difficulties in life. And you have to be able to go to simchas. If you're going to marry a person who's a Baal Tshuva, unless you yourself have a problem. You don't have a religious family. But you're going to marry a boy who's a Baal Tshuva, no one else in the family is observant. So you won't be able to visit by the parents on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They don't keep kosher, and the brothers and the sisters don't keep kosher, they're not observant. So why should you cheat yourselves? Well, marry a boy who has a whole family, that they're all observant. Why should you settle at a young age? It's not right that people say you're not marrying the parents. You are marrying the parents. You're marrying the whole family. Make sure you don't marry a boy whose father sat in jail. What do you need, a busha? Unfortunately, some of our best friends are sitting in jail. You have to look for Yira Shamayim, for the boys and the girls. You have to look for Yira Shamayim. When you venture to Shvedish, you mentioned twice, Chaim Sheishvam Yira Shamayim. You can all use a double dose of Yira Shamayim. It's a big problem. It's a big lack of Yira Shamayim.
Any other specific questions? It's okay, I can't prepare it, so it's okay.
Eat some cookies.
Eat some
cookies, wow.
We'll move on to a different topic, if that's okay, and the topic of ethics. And I'm sure Rav Schechter is familiar with the idea of driverless cars. Driverless cars, where they're no longer a driver driving a car. Where basically, it's all automatic in terms of cars drive and they park on their own. Now the question is, programmers have to be able to ethically make certain decisions when a car is going down a certain lane in terms of who they have to strike. Everything has to be pre-programmed ahead of time. It's one of the great debates now of the great automotive industry. And if a car is heading down a road and you have five people who are crossing down that road, and if the car continues, they know bevadai that those five people will be struck, they'll be killed. However, and they're crossing lawfully on the green light. However, if the car swerves, it can go into another lane where there are also five people who are crossing, but they're crossing against the law. Can the programmer program the car to be able to determine when to cross, which of the five people should be hit? Does it make a difference at all if it's lawful or not lawful?
This is for real?
Yeah, real.
Are the programmers Jewish?
No. Real. It's a real case right now that MIT is working on it.
Can't just stop the car?
You can't stop the car. The brakes fail. You have to make a decision. It's a real MIT. You can take a look, everybody. It's called More Machines. MoreMachines.com. We did it.
You have no right to kill the ether? Why? It should make a difference. There are five people there.
Wouldn't make it a flip a coin.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
I don't see the difference.
And if it's five versus four? Or four versus five?
Just let me try the...
The fewer.
Yeah, probably. You have to be Boicha B'meir Torah. You have to choose the lesser of the two evils if you can ascertain which is the lesser. I don't think crossing illegally, I don't think that's the lesser of the two evils.
Right.
But the four as opposed to five, that's the lesser of the two evils.
Five Jews crossing against the light.
It's Brooklyn.
The Jews always cross against the light.
Chas v'shalom. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm wondering if there's a halakhic obligation on the Jews.
We have an obligation to do hishtatos. I need a shidduch, so I'm just going to sit and say tillim, and the girl's going to fly near. It's not going to happen. I have to call the girl and make a date. I'll talk to her father. Taking out your daughter, you have to do something. You have to make a panasa. You can't just sit in the next night and say, tell my panasa, the money's going to fly from here. You have to do something. You have to do something. So we have to try the best of our ability to vote for the right candidate to run the government. We should really vote for who's the best person for the country, or for the city, or for the state. But let's say New York, the blacks don't vote for who is the best for the city. And the Puerto Ricans don't, and the Dominicans don't. They vote who's the best for the Dominicans, and who's the best for the blacks. So the Jews have no choice. We have to also vote who's best for the Jews. More correct was we should. If everybody would have done like that, we should really vote who's the best one for the country, which will not necessarily be the same as who's the best one for the Jews. But because the other groups are not voting who's the best for the country, we have to vote whoever's the best for the Jews, whoever's the best for the Bnei Yisrael. That's why I wasn't so happy about it, but I voted for Mr. Trump, because by far, he's much better for Eretz Yisrael than the alternative. The other witch was a big marshass. Is a big marshass. Yes, we have an obligation to vote. We have an obligation to be mishtabos, to try to seek to it. then we have that bitachon that the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to see to it that the right candidate should win, whoever he has a say also. Rebbeinu Shlomo has a say too. So he'll see to it that whoever he wants will be elected.
Revealing.
Rav said that that there's a big problem of chinuch for children who are about gaivas. However, the entire society around us are trying to say that you have to be special, you have to feel special, you have to feel good, and it's all about the individual. When you're living in a place where if the students don't feel special and feel loved and feel cared about and feel like they're unique, then they're just going to throw everything out. On the other hand, then if they always have to be told that they're special, told that they're great, and told that they're wonderful, then that creates the scenario we have in front of us where everyone's bowed down. How do we deal with that?
But now Israel are special. We are unique. We are the Am HaNichtar. The Jews are less than 1% of the world population. We have well over 20% of the fellow awards. The fellow awards are not chosen by Jews, not chosen by Jew lovers. The Jews do much more for the world than the Nachum do. We are special. We are unique. But they're talking to each other. He's somebody special. He's not special. The kid is on the top of the class. He's special. The others are not on the top of the class. We should tell each child, you're B'nai Malachim. We're descendants of Avraham Yitzchak. We have a big yichus. We're closer to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. We're the Messiah of Olam. That's what it means. We are the Amalek. That's clearly we are the Amalek. I don't think it's right to emphasize that each child is something special. What is that? It's going to hit him in the future that he's not something special. He's going to apply for a job. He's not so special. Why should we talk to him to the child at a young age?
A lot of people here are going into chinuch or working at camps. One of the biggest problems and difficulties is teaching tefillah, is how to get kids engaged and involved in tefillah. Do you have any thoughts on
that? The tefillah is so long. Maybe for educational purposes, maybe you have to abridge it a little bit. You can't say the whole psukah is in there. Maybe you should say, and then every day, instead of only Ashrei, say another perek. And then Monday, say a different perek. Tuesday, say a different perek. So they will know more correct is to say all the prokem. But we're not going to say all the prokem. And say it slowly, sing it together. I should say Kriya Shema with the trup. A lot of places, a lot of schools, they say Kriya Shema with the trup. Everybody says it together, slowly. So you have to go slowly. You have to cut out, let's say, on Monday and Thursday. It's very difficult to say the whole Hurrah. So I don't try to say the whole Hurrah. I can't daven so fast. So the Acharonim say the Hurrah was composed by three different Rabbanim. It's divided into three different parts. The first section ends, Kikel Melech on the Rachmato. Second section ends, Kikel Melech on the Rachmato. So if I say one section on Monday, and second section on Thursday, and third section next Monday, I'm happy. It's better, it's in the Shulchan Aruch, it's better to say Tov Mi'at B'Kavana, but Abba Shalot B'Kavana. It's better to say less and know what you're talking about than to say more and not know what you're talking about. That's the Shulchan Aruch. It's Tov Mi'at B'Kavana, but Abba Shalot B'Kavana. Rabbi used to be a big Talmud Chacham in New York. Rabbi Huttner was very sharp. So his expression was Tov Mi'at Shalot B'Kavana, but Abba Shalot B'Kavana. Saying anyway Shalot B'Kavana. Not having kavana anyway. So he used to abridge always the slichas in the yeshiva. Why are you saying so much that people don't know what it is? So he cut out a lot of the slichas. The last part of the slichas is the most important. Right. The easy Hebrew. The easy Hebrew, that's in the Mishnayos. So the last two pages in the slichas are the older parts. And the complicated slichas. So you say one or two. You try to say the famous ones that are easier. Piyutim also on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Instead of saying so many piyutim, people don't know what they're saying. So you should say less. Say fewer piyutim. Say the famous ones. The kinnis also Tisha B'Av. I never used to say. My father showed me never said all the kinnis. The first time in my life that I ever said all the kinnis was I was in Boston by Rabbi Soloveitchik. He made him say every single kinnis. That's because he was in the early years when he first came to America. He was fighting the reform and the conservatives. So the conservative used to change everything in the city. The reformers, I said, can't change anything. So his family meaning was that they didn't say Ma'arovus on Yontif. They didn't say the Piyutim by Ma'arov. But because in America it wouldn't be understood, so he made them say everything that's printed in the city. He said he made them say the Marovis on Yontif, and they said all the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av. But now we're not fighting the conservative anymore. But you can't say so much, and then you have to give explanations. Rabbi Soloveitchik's high school in Maimonides in Boston, they used to have a class. They used to be Rabbi Wolgemuth. Was a European rabbi, Talmud Chacham, and he used to teach a class in Siddur. He explained the outline of the Siddur and different dinim about to know how to handle a Siddur. One of the rabbanim visited the city Kovna after Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan passed away. He saw in the Chadorim they were teaching the children Siddur. And he realized it must have been instituted by Rabbi Yitzchak Hanan. He was the prominent rav in Kovna at the time. Because most of them went to work after Bar Mitzvah. One or two children from every city went to learn in Yeshiva after Bar Mitzvah. Everybody else went to work. So they had to teach them in Cheder. They had to teach them how to handle a Siddur. It's a good idea. We should have a class in Siddur. They should teach Siddur in the school to explain what the different parts of the tefillah are, what comes first, what comes second, when you can be Mekatzer, when you can't be Mekatzer. The Shmoneh Esrei, you can't be Mekatzer. If you're good, the Shmoneh Esrei, you're not Yotzer. Because all the brachas are marked for Zulazim. But other parts of the Dhamma, you have to abridge a little bit.
But if you have explanation during tefillah at certain times, is that...
Strictly speaking, it's Litzorach HaTfilos. It's also Mutter. Also Mutter. If you see that it's necessary. Better would be if one of the Rebbe's would daven in an earlier minyan, and then you have to have Rebbe's davening with the students though. So maybe the one who's going to give the explanation should daven in an earlier minyan. But if you can't do that, so strictly speaking, it's permissible to, just like it's permissible to announce what page it is in the middle of the davening, that's Litzorach HaTfilos, to explain. To tell the story about the Baal Shem Tov, I don't think that would be necessary. But to say what the tefillah is all about, explain what it is. Sometimes the story of Baal Shem Tov will be crucial. Sometimes you should tell the story about the Baal Shem Tov. But that's the Tzorach HaTfilah. It's not considered a hefsek. If it enhances the davening, it's not considered a hefsek.
Okay. Shkoach, everyone, thank you so much. It's 10 o'clock. Really want to thank the Rosh Kola, and especially thank you to Mizrahi, to Yumi. Thank you so much, everyone. And please enjoy the Zonos, the Kibbutz Kal as well. Thank you.
Everyone's here.
What was that?
Everyone's here.